Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. Now, team, if you listen very carefully, you'll hear a question put to you by Mrs. Helen Patterson. Hello, Mrs. Patterson. Welcome to the program. Your question, please.
Does the team object to men using handbags? And if so, how do they carry around their essential possessions?
Quiet!
Does the team object to men using handbags? And if so, how do they carry around their essential possessions?
I've never seen a man carrying a handbag.
Well, they don't exactly...
I've seen them carrying a briefcase. I've sat next to a fella carrying a briefcase. He opened it, he got a copy of the Times and two cheese sandwiches. Turned up like that.
Which did he eat first?
Time.
I think this lady's got the absolutely... she's quite right. We carry so many possessions about our person. I don't think she's talking about our private possessions, because I don't carry... I've certainly never put them in a bag myself.
If a man reaches into his hat and pulls out a rabbit, then that's magic. If a woman reaches into her handbag and pulls out her latchkey, then it's a miracle.
That's very true, very true. Personally, I wouldn't carry a handbag. What does a man carry around? I mean, for instance, I carry a bunch of keys in my pocket here, my comb down my sock, and my money in my jockey Y fronts. I sew up the escape hatch, of course.
It's absolutely right that if you wish to travel light, you need a bag to carry all the paraphernalia in. I can't go out without indigestion tablets for a start, otherwise I belch all the time.
Jim doesn't have a handbag, he has a nose bag.
I suppose I may say, Mac.
Yes.
And, about 30 years ago, I went to South Africa and I was paid in gold sovereigns. Truly. And my father told me to be very careful of stewardesses on ships. So I carry them round in a belt round my waist. And that's why I'm slightly bandy even today. £350 in gold sovereigns, truly.
Mrs. Patterson, do you object to men having, I suppose they call them shoulder bags or something?
No, not at all. This question was prompted really by the fact that men now wear such very tight trousers. And when they carry things like pipes in them, they make unseemly bulges.
I'd like to get the question back to the word essential. I have to have, for example, a hip flask. Absolutely essential.
And an opener.
And it's not easy to find a pocket that'll take a quart hip flask.
And in your condition, it's not easy to find a hip.
Mrs. Patterson, do you think any member of this team could look well-dressed with a shoulder handbag?
I think you could.
I could. Only because I'm slimmer and...
there's nothing against it at all. I mean, you carry briefcases around you. When one leaves one's domicile in the morning to do one's 24 hours work, one has to carry certain things with one. And there are very few places where you can stick them.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mac. The most serious thing was when I saw the funeral of King George V.
Oh, yeah.
And I was there in the mall, and I stood there, and the procession went by.
Of course it did. It wasn't going to hang about waiting for you.
Ted, you have to finish this story.
This remark evoked applause.
And then I realised why men don't carry handbags.
Why?
Next to me was a bank messenger, and as the cortege moved by,
yes,
he raised his hat, and two ham sandwiches and a hard-boiled egg fell out.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Patterson. Thank you very much.
There you go. Let's have that question again.
No, we won't. We'll have another question. Oh, and it's going to be put to you by Mr. Michael Gambling.
Which page of the newspaper does the team read first, and which provides them with the most interest?
Which page of the newspaper does the team read first, and which provides them with the most interest?
I always look at the obituary notices.
To see if I'm there.
To see if I'm there. No, I look at the obituary notices first to see if I'm dead, and if I'm not, then I read the rest of the paper.
Well, that comes under the sports page with you.
I'm sure that if we would say that we would, first of all, read the court news if we take one of the better class papers.
You haven't been caught, have you, recently?
Only by the Trossachs. That's the Scottish Daily Mail, yeah. I'd like to see if I am lucky enough to be in the honours list.
Ooh.
Sir Ted. You know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sure.
From then on, the whole day is a waste of time.
Well, they said you should get knotted, not knighted.
What do you mean, Ted, is you read...
No, he's trying to be nasty.
What do you mean, Ted, is you read the court circular?
Then I look in the financial page and see how my share is doing. I have one share in Rolls Royce.
Yes.
And I was so happy today because they said they're going to mix with a French perfume factory and make body odours.
Yes.
So I might make a few quid there. Finally, I come back to the front page, and this is where I must tell you, Mr. Gambling, an anecdote which is perfectly true.
Of course it is.
So this is a lie.
And it was in 1945, and I was in Manchester, and, you know, we used to open in those days at the Palace Theatre on the Monday.
Open what?
We went to the cinema in the afternoon. We couldn't bear to think that we weren't going to be mentioned in the evening paper. And I saw this chap come out of the cinema, and he looked at the paper, and he said, Palace Theatre. Fred Davis, that was him. The biggest disaster of all time. And he closed the paper. He said, I'll sue him. And then he looked at the front page and he said, hey, fellas, the war's over.
Mr. Gambling, I think it's only fair, since you've put this question, that I should ask you what page you read.
Well, use.
I meant read, not use.
Yes, of course you did.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Yes.
Mr. Gambling, ignore that gentleman with whiskers. Just answer the question.
Yes. I start at the sports page and work backwards through to the politician's indiscretions.
The politician's indiscretions are the sports page, surely.
That's true.
Going back to the sport angle, what always amuses me is you see on the placards exclusive interview about the forthcoming heavyweight championship. And it says that this fellow, Joe Finnegan, whoever he is, has said the unnecessary interference in the art of boxing by the church is a preconceived notion that the sport is unnecessarily brutal. That's what it says in the print. And you hear the same fellow being interviewed at night, and he says, I think I'll get this git in the second round. Yeah.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you very much, Mr. Gambling. Thank you.
Holy water.
And sitting on my right when you've finished chatting, team, is Mrs. Pauline Shears. Mrs. Shears, welcome to the programme. Put your question, please.
Does the team think they'd be any good at producing TV commercials? For instance, could each now devise a commercial to advertise, does the team think?
Does the team think they'd be any good at producing TV commercials? For instance, could each now devise a commercial to advertise, does the team think?
Yes, I think that all commercials should be in poetry, you see, because that's my line, as it were. So pin back your luggles now.
My mummy says that I'm the best, except she says that she would like to have the team of Does the Team Think round for tea. She says she thinks they are the best. There's Jim, Ted, Art and Si. She says she thinks they are the best. I really can't think why.
I think they're awful.
Arthur Askey.
Good for Arthur. Not bad, Cyril.
You know, Cyril, I thought for a minute you caught your trousers in something.
I thought of one, the same as Cyril. You see, you must have a song or a little poem for TV adverts. And I thought we could make a marvellous TV advert. We're all sitting round a table with glasses. It'll be an effort for Jim, I know. Glasses of beer. And Max's voice says, what does the team think about Aspinall's ale? And we all raise our tankards and we sing, it really is a lovely drink and much stronger than you think. Last evening when he drank a glass, it made Jim fall down on his face. Or something like that.
I if we were going to advertise this programme, would want one of those zoomy, you know, like you'd have a long shot of London and you'd do a crash zoom into the Serpentine or something like that,
yes,
where we're all naked.
Oh, gosh!
We're all naked and sort of in that classic thinking position, isn't it? I think it's with the fist against the forehead and the left hand where it shouldn't be or something, isn't it?
Jim, could you not see some future for an advertisement for Does the Team Think? You know how they use these slow motion things with you running through Hyde Park in slow motion?
Oh, yes.
Well, he does every morning. He can't do anything else, but he never catches her.
One could bound.
You bound her.
Bound across the screen with everything swinging. It'd be absolutely.
Everything swinging.
Now we're bound to Serpentine.
My moustache.
Those whiskers going up and down.
Whiskers going up and down.
Fantastic, yes.
And saying, oh, what it is to be. No, after
a healthy grown up.
Busy little bee.
What better advertisement for honey could you get than that?
Well, I did a commercial for soft drinks, and I had to drink a glass and then say, it's a lovely drink, playmates, it's as sweet as honey. And we were at it all day. I must have done this 84 times, kept drinking this stuff. I had to keep going to the ladies, you know, the gents, I mean. Honestly, one after the other, and funny thing was, I was dressed as a bee. In other words, I had yellow tights on and a striped jersey.
But Arthur...
And every time I had a drink and went to go to the... Now I know why you ladies take so long in the powder room.
Mrs. Shears, have you any ideas, perhaps, as how to advertise this programme?
It seems today, looking at television advertising, that nearly every advert is based upon a sexual theme.
Quite right.
I was very intrigued to see that, apart from Mr. Edwards, whose thoughts are well known... nobody else thought of bringing this in.
Bringing what in?
Sex.
Mr. Edwards is far past that.
I thought perhaps the rest of you had forgotten about it and he was the only one that could remember.
Mr. Edwards.
As a matter of fact, it isn't that I'm the only one to remember it, darling. I'm the first one to discover it.
As a matter of fact,
he's the chap who likes to be reminded of it. It reminds me of the joke of about the very, very old lady. She must be about 83 or 84. And she goes into the police station and she says, I've been assaulted. The customer says, I beg your pardon, madam. She says, I've been assaulted. He said, when was this? She said, 55 years ago. He said, well, surely you don't want to report it now. She said, no, I don't want to report it. I just want to talk about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you, team, and thank you, Mrs. Shears.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a leading light of radio, television and films for many years. A warm welcome for Jack Watson. Welcome to the programme, Jack. Have a seat. Put your question, will you?
Right. Now, right. I would like to know, would the members of the team welcome the chance to run a pub, and what would they call it?
Would members of the team welcome the chance to run a pub and what would they call it?
I'm given to understand, Jack, that running a pub isn't all that meets the eye, as the fellow said when they threw a pint of beer at him. I'll say that again. No, I won't.
Not worth it.
No.
I can hear it and I didn't laugh.
But...
I mean,
one has held, I don't know about you, I have held in my mind for many years the pipe dream that I would like to be a publican. I would like to run a pub, but I don't think that it would be me.
You'd drink all the samples.
He'd run a religious pub and drink up the profits.
But if I were going to... I was right. If I did run a pub, I would call it The Mission.
Why would you call it The Mission, Jim?
So that all the fellas' wives could say, don't worry, he's down at The Mission.
Don't you think you might have trouble if you were running a pub, the people that you wouldn't want to have in the pub, would any that sort of
you
thing
You mean
happen?
I had to check them out?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't like that. Well, the great trouble in pubs these days, of course, is the kids get in, you know, 14, 15. I was in one the other day and there was a police raid. They threw all the kids out, me with them.
I mean, they were jockeying for position, weren't they?
I wouldn't mind, I mean, thinking of the hunting that I do during the winter, I ought to run a pub because it would be what they call a pint to pint.
May I say?
I think you could have... You could have, Jack, you could have a pub called the David and Goliath. One small one and you're stoned.
The funniest name I ever heard for a pub, it was called the Flute and Earache.
I've got a pal of mine who's got a pub, and I see him occasionally. He has people. He has got a few rooms there. And he had a Swiss yodeler come over to this country and ask for rooms, and he stayed there at a friend of mine's pub, and used to go out to, you know, the Albert Hall and give an exhibition of yodeling and things like this. Well, on the last day, he's going back to Switzerland, he's going by boat, and he's at Fenchurch Street Station, and just as the train's rushing off, this pal of mine who owns the pub rushes up and says, "You dirty dog, you've been making love to my daughter." He said, "And your old lady too."
I was in Lancashire the other week and I went into a little pub. And let's face it, gentlemen, we have the panel, and even Mac and Jack, I'm sure, when we are a bit lonely, we go into pubs. Some of us hoping to be recognised. Are you going to go on with that?
I'm sad for you, Ted.
You won't be when you hear the tagline.
Oh, go on.
Come on, Ted.
This is the end of the joke.
Get to the tagline.
And he walked in, and to his amazement, in this little pub, in this little village in Up Holland. In Lancashire.
It's a wonderful way to go.
As long as you take your clogs off.
And he saw all round the room in this little Lancashire pub the heads of ferocious-looking bulls.
Ferocious bulls.
And he said to the chap behind the bar, he said, "You must be very interested in Spain." He said, "Oh, that's right, lad. You see that one there? That's Hernando, that bull. He killed 4 matadors." He said, "Go on." He said, "Oh, he did. What about the second one?" He said, "That's Bernando. He killed 12 matadors." He said, "Go on." He said, "Yes." And he said, "The third one, that's Grando. He killed my brother." He said, "No." He said, "Yes. He was playing darts and it fell on his head."
Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Jack Watson. Thank you, Jack. Now I'm going to turn our attention to Mrs. Eileen M. Stewart.
That's a bad idea.
Hello, Mrs. Eileen M. Stewart. Mrs. Eileen M. Stewart, will you put your question, please?
If the members of the team could sing operatically, what part in opera would they fancy themselves singing?
If the members of the team could sing operatically, what part in opera would they fancy themselves singing?
Well, opera, of course, must be done very well. You should have a really good orchestra. I saw a second-rate opera company doing Il Trovatore, and blimey, was Trovatore ill.
Jimmy Edwards, I believe I once heard you sing on television. I think it might have been my mistake, or the producer might have been slightly raving mad or something, but you did sing on television once, didn't you?
I don't know why you make such a rude remark.
He sang on television once, just once, and they said normal service will be removed.
I would like you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I resent utterly the ribald laughter that followed that cheap...
Ribald!
I would like to be in opera, same and I would lad. Like to sing some of the great dramatic roles, but I don't think I'm...
Well, the greatest, of course, is the prologue from Pagliacci, isn't it?
I knew a man who changed his name to Archie.
To act with my heart.
That's right.
Man with sorrow. That's right. He I know it. All I'm saying.
Yes,
or what I'm doing of.
Yes, I know.
Yet
yes.
I must face it. Courage, right. My
Arthur,
heart.
Arthur, Arthur.
No, it's not a man.
That's right. That's right.
Arthur.
Caruso used to get £4,000 a performance.
Caruso didn't sing that because he was a tenor.
What opera would you choose to sing, or what aria from opera would you choose, Jim?
I go for the dramatic moments, like thy tiny...
Rigoletto.
Thy tiny whatnot is frozen.
Can't remember now the word. Now your poor old feet.
I can't remember the word.
My wife used to work...
Let me warm it into life. Speak, speak, I beg of you. All that.
Pardon me while I throw up.
Mr. Stewart, If you were a casting director, what roles would you cast these gentlemen in opera? Gentlemen, I use the word very loosely.
Well, you've got loose teeth.
Well, Jimmy Edwards is obviously suited for a dramatic part.
Thank you, ma'am.
And he proves it on this programme.
I could see him performing Boris Godunov's...
Couldn't see him performing at all.
...fearful heart attack.
Boris what, madam?
Good enough.
Good enough.
No,
it's
God
good enough.
Enough
for you, it's good enough for good enough. Good enough for Boris.
Hang on, Mrs. Stewart has the chair.
Well, Cyril Fletcher is so good at dames and feminine parts and pantomime.
Have you seen me?
I'm coming to you.
Coming to you in a minute. Your turn will come, young man.
I think we'd leave Grand Opera for Cyril Fletcher and turn to Gilbert and Sullivan, and perhaps the Fairy Queen in Ireland would suit him.
What about Arthur Askey, Mrs. Stewart?
Arthur has such a petite figure.
Oh, that's what you call it.
And Oriental eyes.
We call it shorthouse.
There's no such opera.
If he had a soprano voice, I could see him as Madame Butterfly. Ah.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you,
Mr.
Stewart.
And now, team, listen very carefully, because here comes a question put to you by Miss Pepsi Watson.
How would the team celebrate the good news that they had hit the jackpot on the pools?
How would the team celebrate the good news that they had hit the jackpot on the pools?
Well, I know I celebrate it. When I had my big win, you know, on the football pools, it's got a thing in the corner and said, people who don't want any publicity, put a cross there. Well, they respect that, because when I had my big win, nobody ever heard anything about it. I put the postal order for 50p in the bank, and nobody spoke about it.
I'll tell you something. I got the treble chance at Pepsi. I did. I did, darling. I won the treble chance, and it was £128. And when I got my £128, it reminded me of a little man in the office who'd been working for years on a stipend, some terribly small salary. And he went home one Saturday night, and he saw that he won the treble chance. And he couldn't wait. The hatred of his boss, his master, who'd ground him into the dust. And he sent a telegram, four-letter words, what he could do. And then he read down the columns and found out that there were 48 drawers. Then he sent another telegram and said, ignore first wire.
It sounded like the young fellow who won £100,000. He won it outright, and he went to his dad. He said, Dad, I won £100,000. Here's a quid for you. His father said, a quid? He said, yes. So the father said, listen, son, before you go on your trip round the world, there's something I think I should tell you, that I am not your father. So the boy said, you're not my father. He said, no, I am not your father. He said, does that mean that I'm a bastard? He said, yes, and you're a mean one as well.
Pepsi, if you did win the pools, supposing you won 100,000, what would you do with it?
I would probably put a fair whack of it into buying some sort of property.
Like me, for example.
Well,
I can be bought tomorrow for £100,000. And lock, stock and barrel.
No. Yes?
But if I did that, Jimmy, what sort of return would I get on you?
You're not a anyway.
Come on, sir. Action.
But surely the moment of celebration, when you actually knew, what would you do? Would you probably, you, Jimmy, would go down the boozer, and would you actually buy a round for the lads? Would that be the first thing you did?
Darling, it would be the first time in history.
You're so wrong, darling. If that happened to me, I'd pick up the phone and say, send me the boozer. I would like to buy a pub, and I would call it the Crack of Dawn.
Why would you call it the crack of dawn?
So that all my customers' wives can say, he's always up at the crack of dawn.
Thank you very much, team. Thank you very much, Pepsi. And then I'm afraid we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, and Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questions, and, of course, our special guest, Jack Watson. This is MacDonald Hopley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.